Jim Fan, are you aware that the Walden movies very nearly, or at least they had long, serious conversations about skipping Prince Caspian altogether?
I seem to recall that being tossed around.
Hi, this is Jonathan Parabel from Melbourne, Australia. You're listening to Talking Beasts.
Welcome to Talking Beasts
from NarniaWeb.com,
where we explore the world of C.S. Lewis
and keep a watchful eye
on the latest Narnia movie news.
This
is Talking Beasts.
Welcome back, everyone, to the season premiere of Talking Beasts. I'm Glum Puddle.
And I'm Jim Fan.
I got through the intro. So far, so good. I just said I was feeling rusty.
It feels like it's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been about 1,300 years, actually, if we go by Narnia time. So
that's true.
Because, yeah, we obviously did Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe BBC last season, and people seem to enjoy that. So we're going to talk about Prince Caspian, the BBC TV series adaptation in this one.
Yes, easily the least prolific of the four
it
BBC
seems
adaptions
to be.
That they did.
Later on in this season... we're going to do a kind of lightning round episode. Just want to do a little tease for that. Jim Fan, why don't you tell us about that?
So for the lightning round episode that we're going to do at the end of the season, it's going to be for our Knights of Narnia Web, our Patreon supporters, where you guys are going to have the opportunity to submit just like a different topics for us to talk about and go over. So that is something that our Patreon Knights of Narnia Web subscribers are going to be able to participate in. So all the instructions are going to be on the Patreon page. And if you are not a Patreon subscriber and you would like to be, you can head on over to patreon.com/NarniaWeb. And all the information is going to be on there.
Yeah. So it's going to be really fun. I'm anticipating it being a really long one, maybe a couple hours, where depending on how many topics we get, like just talking about absolutely anything you guys want us to talk about. And generally Narnia related stuff, of course, but maybe a few that aren't necessarily, whatever, just anything you want. The whole point, just to say thank you so much for the support, for supporting the podcast. And I just think it'd be really fun. A couple hours just talking about stuff you guys submit. And it can be really simple things. Like we may only talk about every topic for 5 to 10 minutes and then move on to the next one really quick. It may be like really, really quick like that. So they could be really simple. They could be really dumb questions, you know, just whatever. It's going to go through them really fast. So I'm thinking it'll be really fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that because we haven't done anything quite like that before. So please and submit your topics.
But so let's turning to today's topic. We're going to start with episode one of BBC's Prince Caspian series, which came out in 1989.
Still wasn't born yet.
So this Prince Caspian series, and it's two episodes. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was 6 episodes. Dawn Treader, that we'll do eventually, I guess, is 4 episodes. Prince Caspian is just 2. And it's, you know, just like we talked about with the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe BBC series, we're going to go through these episode by episode, and that's how we're going to judge them, not as one big piece, but as a multi-episode piece.
Yes.
So I haven't watched episode 2 yet. I mean, I did a long time ago, but...
Yes,
I'm just
same.
Focusing on episode one. Yeah, just focusing on episode one right now. Something that I'm curious, I think what might be a good way to introduce our analysis of this is to talk about something from the Walden production that I don't think gets talked about enough. Jim Fan, are you aware that the Walden movies very nearly, or at least they had long, serious conversations about skipping Prince Caspian altogether?
I seem to recall that being tossed around just because Prince Caspian tends to be the thing that people have so much hesitation about adapting because it's a hard book to adapt.
It was actually Andrew Adamson who initiated the conversation because Don Treader is his favorite book and Prince Caspian was proving difficult to adapt, and they really entertained the idea of skipping Prince Caspian altogether or perhaps combining it with Don Treader somehow. And they talked about that for a while and they never could come up with a satisfying way to do it, so they decided to just go ahead and do Prince Caspian.
And I'm very glad they did.
Yeah, because both of us actually overall, like I think I'm more mixed on it than you, but both of us overall would give a thumbs up to the Prince Caspian movie from Walden
Absolutely.
Media.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and also both of us, Prince Caspian is our least favorite book. Is that correct?
Correct.
So I think both of us can relate to Andrew Adamson at least having that moment of wondering.
Yes, but since the Prince Caspian movie has come out, I have gained a new appreciation for the book.
I heard Andrew Adamson say pretty much the same thing you just did, that he developed a, he actually literally said, I like the book a lot more after doing the movie. I think it speaks to how there's a lot of, maybe the reason Prince Caspian is my least favorite, I think there's a lot of really fascinating ideas in Prince Caspian and concepts. Some of the best ideas in the series maybe, but it has the least satisfying narrative overall to me. I know the Rose Tree Dryad, news poster and huge, huge contributor to Narnia Web. Prince Caspian is actually her favorite book, so she's probably squirming right now going, what are you talking about? It's the best one. But I think it has some of the most interesting ideas and concepts in the series, but maybe the least satisfying overall story and narrative. So, yeah, I think the attitude that Walden had, or they really thought about just skipping it because it's hard to adapt and it's everyone's least favorite. I think it's clear looking at this that BBC probably went through the same kind of process. I think there's a sense through these that they're just trying to get the bare minimum of what they need from Prince Caspian so they can get to Don Treader.
Yeah, like it was just like a little like prologue. It's like, this is the kind of introduction to Don Treader, so that way you can have some of these characters and you know who they are.
Nowadays, if you like go buy these movies on DVD, you actually see that there's three Narnia stories they tell, not four. They tell Wardrobe, they tell Silver Chair, and in the middle you have a story called Prince Caspian and the Voyage of the Don Treader. Now, I don't think it was originally presented that way, but they kind of repackaged it that way. But jumping into episode one, let me summarize it really quick, or I'll try to do it quick because there's so much in this first episode. It's just like the book. It starts off with the Pevensies at the train station.
Sorry!
Lucy, really? Who would ever believe you were once a queen of Narnia?
You jolly well ran too, Queen Susan.
I hardly ever think of those days now.
Talk about something else.
Like how awful it is that Susan's going to America.
You enjoy it, Susan. Lucy's just jealous because she and Edmund have to go and stay at our aunt's with our horrible cousin Eustace.
And then we actually cut away to Caspian's backstory. This is a big change from the book right off the bat. The book, you know, we go for a few chapters with the Pevensies and then flashback to Caspian. And here we immediately get the ball rolling and we cut back to Caspian. We see him training. He has this big argument with Queen Pruneprismia that's not in the book.
You don't seem to appreciate...
Because he's an ungrateful little wretch.
I'm not ungrateful, aunt.
You never show gratitude, child. Oh, the things King Miraz and I have done for you.
The care and attention you have had.
I've had so much care and attention. Sometimes felt like being in jail.
Silence!
Then we meet Cornelius, and they have the scene on the tower that they cut out of the Walden version where he talks about Tarva and Elendil. Then Caspian has to flee. He meets the old Narnians. And then they actually, at some point, they cut back to the Pevensies going, someone's talking about me. And then they're sort of sitting on the platform. So we actually cut back to the Pevensies very briefly a couple times. And then, you know, they start fighting. They blow the horn. Finally, the Pevensies are called to Narnia, and they realize they're in Cair Pharavel. They meet Trumpkin. Then, man, so much. And then they...
it's almost the whole book, it feels like.
Yep. They cut out Glasswater Creek, and they're just walking along, and Lucy thinks she sees Aslan. And, of course, they put it to a vote, or what we're going to call a vote. We'll get to that in a second. And then they run into some Telmarine soldiers, and they hide, and that's the end of the episode. So a lot packed into... a very short space of time.
30 minutes, to be precise. All of that in 30 minutes.
I'll say this. This thing moves. You know,
It really does.
So I asked our listeners what they and the Talking Beast Facebook group what they thought about this Prince Caspian series, Prince Caspian adaptation from BBC, and they definitely leaned negative. 47% said they were mixed, 35% were negative, only 18% were positive. So mixed, but leaning negative for sure, our listeners. So why don't we start by talking about the opening scene? What were some of your first impressions? We see the Pevensies on the platform waiting for the train, and there's some dialogue there that's not in the book. Because they show them, like, you know, push. There's someone else waiting at the train on. Like, there's this big race to get a seat. There's only limited seating, I guess. And they rush over. And Lucy, I think it was, actually pushes someone over who was sitting on the bench. Pushes them over and goes, sorry. And then there's some dialogue where Susan basically says, you know, who would ever believe you were a queen of Narnia? And there's this acknowledgement that, yeah, we were kings and queens for a long time, but the past year we've just been normal people. So it's interesting that that's not something that's addressed in the book, really, but it's something that is brought up in both the Walden and BBC adaptations. Because in Walden, we start with Peter having that scuffle on the platform, and it's because I used to be a king, you know, and this guy bumped me, and so I had to fight back or whatever.
I think it comes from a place. Yeah, I think it comes from a place of wanting to address the fact that these kids had been adults in Narnia and then suddenly went back to being kids again. And I feel like it's this pretty big aspect of the Pevensies' lives that in the books it's just not addressed at all, whereas it's almost every person who's ever read the books, or I guess I shouldn't speak that broadly, but I know many, 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 many people who have read the books, and they get to that part where, like, wait, they were adults and now they're kids again. How did they react? Like, how that would have affected them, at least in some way. It wouldn't have to be a huge way, but it would have affected them. But it's just never talked about.
I get the sense that you're probably right that a lot of people that read the book have that question, and it's one of those hanging things, like, well, what would it be like to be going back to being a kid? But I was never one of those people. Not even really until I saw the Walden version, or at least I became aware that they were going to be developing that more. Up until then, I really don't think I ever gave it a lot of thought. It just didn't seem to be relevant. I got caught up in the story. I got caught up in other things. So I can understand if you're saying, well, let's make the real, you know, and especially with Andrew Adamson's philosophy of Andrew Adamson kind of imagined that C.S. Lewis wrote fairy tales based on real events. And he wanted to try to imagine, well, what was the real event the story was based on? And that's what he wanted to make into a movie. It's an understandable question to ask. And especially if you're an actor, like, you know, I'm playing Peter Pevensey. What's my character been through this past year? You got to think about those questions. So it's a perfectly valid thing to ask, I guess, in making a movie. But it's not something I ever really wondered about personally. I guess I'm in the minority, though.
Yeah, just like I'd be really curious, like, you know, for the listeners, like, maybe leave a comment and say, like, was that ever something that you thought about when you read the books? Whether it was the first time or maybe many times later, is that something that occurred to you, or did it not really occur to you? I don't know.
So then as the Pevensies are talking, they hear a horn or music or something, which is kind of weird because it's not like there's an actual horn being blown. It's just score. And they go, what's that music? I recognize that somewhere. And then we cut to Caspian and Miraz, and Caspian's doing archery practice at a real castle, by the way. That's kind of nice, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, that's the most real feeling location.
Quite,
you know,
authentic.
That looked pretty cool. I was like, wow, I can kind of imagine this is Narnia. This is pretty neat. That's how we jump into the episode. So we each come up with, it was hard to nail them down because there's so much in this episode, but we each came up with a couple points we wanted to really highlight in this episode because we could go all day long. What was the first of your points that you wanted to highlight?
One of the things that stuck out to me a lot, and this is kind of piggybacking off of what you said, the focus of this particular episode. So what did they choose to focus on in the book? And in this episode, it's almost entirely on Caspian and the Narnians. the Pevensies are in at the very beginning in a little itty bitty scene, and then they disappear and they do not come back until literally the last 10 minutes of the film, which you'd say, oh, 10 minutes, that's like a whole third of the episode. Yeah, but don't get me wrong, like, this is a jam-packed episode, so it's basically, like, the impact of that is so small in the overall grand scheme of things, which is really different than the book, because in the book, like you said, it starts with the Pevensies, and it stays with them up until they kind of connect with a Narnian, and then you get to go back and get the backstory. So yeah, they're just kind of not there at all, which I thought was interesting. I see why they did that. I think it was kind of necessary to the pacing and focus that they were trying to go for. But it was definitely like, I was watching it and I was like, huh, this is just a lot of Caspian.
What I'll say about it that's maybe positive is there is sort of a sense of a ticking time bomb element a little bit. You know that we'll have... You once or twice cut back to the Pevensies from Caspian's backstory. I mean, this is the story of Caspian that's occasionally interrupted by the Pevensies. So far, I mean. So what it does is you get the sense of, well, sooner or later, the Pevensies storyline and the Caspian storyline has to connect, and there's an expectation that that has to happen eventually. So that does give you some sense of expectation, like, okay, all of this is going to amount to something eventually. That's what I would say about it. That's positive. Apart from that, it's pretty awkward.
Then it's true about the kings and queens and the White Witch.
Certainly it's true. Their reign was the golden age of Narnia. And the land has never quite forgotten them.
My ears are burning. Someone, somewhere, is talking about me.
And the kings and queens, did they live here in this very castle?
Nay, sire. In those times, they lived in the castle of Caer Paravel.
Walden, of course, just had Caspian blow the horn way earlier.
Yes, that was their workaround.
The Pevensies into Narnia and tell the storyline side by side. And that had negative consequences as well. That was not a perfect solution. One of the consequences of that is that there's no mystery about why the Pevensies were called to Narnia in BBC's adaptation and Walden's as well. You know that, we see Caspian blow the horn. Then we see the Pevensies, the ghost of themselves, step out of their bodies and say, "We are cold. They're wanted." So we know, like, the whole mystery of the book is, what the heck? How do we suddenly appear here? And why is it 1,300 years later is completely gone from both adaptations? And then I also briefly, which is sort of, I guess I'm kind of squeezing two things into one here, but we've alluded to it a few times, but wow, the pacing of this episode is so fast.
It is extremely fast. Like, it's really shocking. Like, how many chapters of the book did they get into one episode? If you count the flashback and regular stuff.
I want to say they get to at least eight. eight chapters of the book. I don't think Wardrobe ever got to more than four. I think it was more like maybe three or four per episode.
Isn't that crazy?
They just rush through it. So yeah, you do get the sense watching this that they're trying to get. It's a weird feeling watching something, and you get the sense that the main goal of the story is to get itself over with as quick as possible.
Yes, everyone's favorite like narrative structure. Let's just get it over with.
They do include I think one of the best scenes in the book, and for me personally, I'd say it's the iconic scene of Prince Caspian that was. I understand why they cut it out of the Walden version, but it's still disappointing to not to have something called Prince Caspian, but not have the scene of Cornelius and Caspian on the tower.
I've never been on this high tower before.
The virtue of this tower, sire, is that we have a long stair and six empty rooms beneath us. We cannot be heard or interrupted. The time has come for you to know. All that you have heard about old Narnia is true. In the country of Aslan, there were walking trees and talking beasts.
I knew it was true, and I'm glad it was true.
Many of your race feel that in secret.
And they do capture, I guess, a little bit of the oh, the stars and the old stories and stuff. But again, they go through it just as it's maybe starting to feel that a little bit. The scene just abruptly ends. And that's a lot of this. You have the, like, I want to have some respect for the people that, there are a lot of fans that like the BBC version. But to me, it was like, I felt like I could have read the Wikipedia article of the book and gotten more, and had a more emotional reaction to it.
Yeah, it's like the Pevensies get called into Narnia, and you're like, oh, look, they're there, but they don't know where they are or what time it is. And then, like, 2 seconds later, they're like,
our gifts!
And it's true. We are back at Caer Paravel.
But how can it be such a ruin in only a year?
Why, of course. Well, our time is different to Narnia time. 1 year on Earth could be centuries in Narnia.
We must take our gifts. They may be useful.
Yeah, one of the most egregious examples of fast pacing for me is when they put it to a vote. Like, should we follow Aslan or not? And they go, let's put it to a vote. This way or that way? And Trump just goes, this way. And they walk away. Like, they don't even bother voting. And that made me laugh really, really hard, actually.
Yeah, there's no time to have any feelings about anything, which I think if I had to pick, like, my biggest criticism of this episode, it's that, yeah, it's pretty much like, you know, paint by numbers Narnia, but there is no emotion, there is no feeling attached to any of it because it is so hell-bent on just getting through the story, which is a shame because there is so much feeling and emotion that's attached to the Book of Prince Caspian, like just so much, you know, just like the sadness of like old Narnia being gone and the hope of new Narnia coming and sadness of, you know, the Pevensies coming, but it's being, you know, such a long time later and everyone they know is gone, but, you know, but they're happy to be back. Like, there's just so much feeling, and that's the thing that makes the book so good. Like, that is one of its best qualities, and it's just completely absent.
They have some of the ideas in Prince Caspian, but not enough time to actually feel anything about them. Basically.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much.
Now, we've been pretty negative so far. I promise, listeners, I've got a really big positive coming up for me. So hang in there. If you love the BBC Caspian and this is driving you nuts, hang in there. It's coming. But what's the next thing you wanted to highlight?
Just some thoughts on the different characterizations of some of the different characters that we met in this episode. Like, the first one that sticks out to me is Reepicheep. Cheap. Which is played by the amazing Warwick Davis, who he was also in The Walden, Prince Caspian, playing a different character. So I mean, I still have kind of an issue with the practical effect, like makeup / costume that
wearing
they decided
the mouse
to
suit.
Go for. I'm getting severe beaver flashbacks. I'm just going to say, y'all.
Severe beaver flashbacks. Terms you never thought you would hear, but because you listen to this podcast, you are hearing.
Still a little traumatized. Just
can someone make that
say.
A meme? Severe beaver flashbacks.
Let's be honest. We've all been a little victimized and traumatized by
we've all been
BBC
there.
Beavers. We've all been there. We also have Cornelius, who, the word that comes to my head for his characterization is like a little, just like, I don't know, not goofy, but like a little, like.
I imagine Cornelius in the book being a lot more solemn, and I imagine him as someone.
Yes, more stately, a little, you know.
I would compare the way they have adapted. The way they portrayed Cornelius here, and again, it's hard to make too big a judgments when they rush through it so fast, but like you said, but the way that cast BBC Cornelius is compared to book Cornelius is, to me, that's what book beavers are compared to Walden beavers, where I imagine the characters in the book being kind of quiet and solemn, and they've been waiting for this for so long, and they've almost given up hope. And then the movie version, they were comedians. Now,
yeah.
Cornelius isn't quite a comedian, but he is in the BBC version. But he does have this like, oh, yes, Narnia, old Narnia, and energy that I don't imagine. And I guess he kind of when the story is going that fast, you kind of have to have that energy, I guess, to keep up with it. So it's probably more about the script than anything else. And that's Henry Wolfe that plays Cornelius in BBC.
And then we have Trumpkin, who is played by Mick Walter, who also played the witch's dwarf from BBC Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe. Who
Big Mick, they called him.
Yeah. I feel like you quite appreciated his work as the witch's dwarf in that.
He was the Phantom Menace of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe BBC. He was the real villain holding up this puppet queen.
Yes. But a very good actor. And I do think he does a good Trumpkin. Just kind of a lot, you know, little eye rolling, but you know, that's kind of Trumpkin, who's just kind of, I'm just doing my job, but just like slightly exasperated with everyone.
Yeah, definitely closer to how I imagined Trumpkin than Peter Dinklage.
For goodness sake, Nickovic, will you contain yourself? Almost truffle under an eye sit on your head.
Now, you two. You dwarfs are as forgetful and changeable as humans themselves. I'm a beast, I am, and a badger, what's more. We don't change.
And then you have Truffle Hunter, who got gender swapped for this adaptation, which I don't know particularly why, but maybe they just wanted to get another female voice in there. That's my guess.
Like, Truffle Hunter has like three lines. Who cares if it's male or female? So it's hard to really render a judgment about it. But yeah, it's worth noting as nerdy fans that they did do that. But as far as characters, turning to one of the things I wanted to really highlight, turning to characters that do have, actually spend a lot of time on, of course, and that's Jean-Marc Parrott, I want to say, his pronunciation, Jean-Marc Parrott's performance as the young Caspian. And I thought his performance was very good. I think he does the actor was 14 at the time of filming, by the way, so... a year older than Lewis's timeline indicates Caspian is in this story. And I think he sells the childlike wonder and the early stages. It feels sincere to me, and that's such an essential... That's who Caspian is. Caspian, oh, I wish I could have lived in the old days, and I love the old stories and his joy and his excitement when he finds out that they're real. And I think he gets both sides of the spectrum and does them very well, I think. The childlike wonder, you buy the longing. Then I think later when he's a king and having to be a general and a leader, I think you kind of buy that too.
It's getting steadily nearer.
Majesty.
You two badgers and you dwarfs go.
We'll settle him.
You are not to hurt him if he is alone. Catch and bring him.
Best we kill it.
Do as you're told.
We've been talking about how hard it is to have real characterizations when it's so fast, but like Caspian's maybe the only one, maybe a little bit Trumpkin, like I said, but Caspian is one where I feel like even if I hadn't read the book, I could describe you. You ask me, who is that character, Caspian? And I could say, oh, he had these bedtime stories. He wants them to come true. And now that they are coming true, he's overjoyed. And he really believes in old Narnia and wants to see it come back. Like, I think I could describe that to you even if I hadn't read the book. So he's a formed character in this. And I think quite a bit better than Ben Barnes. I think he's given less to do because they're just trying to rush through the story at the speed of light. And I think that this actor still manages to bring Caspian to life despite not being given a lot to do. And it's also a lot closer to how I imagine Caspian in the book. So... the major positive I will give to this episode is that I really love his performance as Caspian.
Yeah, and I do think that, like, if you're going strictly off like closeness to the book, I think that Jean-Marc's characterization or of Caspian is closer to book Caspian. I think that Ben Barnes is not at all, but then again, I think that Walden Caspian is a slightly different kind of character. So he's older and his motivations are a little different.
And that transitions right into the first of our listener requests. Sometimes it's hard to narrow down with these episodes. What do we talk about? And there's always something where someone in the comments section is like, why didn't you talk about X? And so I posted a thread in the Talking Beast Facebook group saying, what should we talk about? And picked out a few. And Colonel Klink wanted us to talk about Caspian's age, specifically the beginning, because in the book, Caspian's really little when he has a nurse, and then some time goes by and he grows up for the rest of the story. And Lewis specifically said, what Colonel Klink writes is, BBC portrays Caspian as being the same age throughout the episode, although Lewis stresses that he was very young when he told Miraz about his nurse. And then and goes on, Lewis says that had Caspian been older, he would have known better. But I guess the question is, was that believable to you when Caspian says, well, my old nurse, of course, told me about Narnia. Did that feel believable to you? And were you like, oh, Caspian, why are you being such an idiot?
And they became the kings and queens, and they reigned for years and years.
Who has been telling you these lies?
Why, I've heard them ever since I was a small boy.
Who told you?
Why, my old nurse, for one.
Guards!
That was a really good observation by Colonel Klink that I might have missed otherwise.
First of all, the actor doesn't quite come across as 14 to me. So if he is 14. But especially at the beginning, like, you know, it felt like he's playing him young. So I guess if I didn't think that hard about it, I could have been like, oh, okay, so he's like younger. But again, he still should have known better. So it doesn't quite work. But I understand they don't want to recast a character just for like a 2-second scene.
Maybe for me, like in that scene, I think it was before that scene where Caspian talks about basically, sometimes it felt like being in jail. Like I'm never allowed to leave this castle. There's all this dialogue that's actually not in the book. And I sort of went, oh, he's kind of sheltered. This world is all that he knows. He doesn't necessarily know. It's not that surprising that he doesn't know, oh, I shouldn't be talking about this. Maybe the rest of the kingdom knows, oh, don't talk about old Narnia or you'll get, I don't know, burned at the stake or whatever. I don't know. But Caspian, this is a whole world. This is all that he knows. They just had a bit of dialogue before that talking about that. So I guess maybe that's the reason I didn't really question it. But good observation. Yeah, so I think we've made our overall thoughts on this pretty clear, but do you want to just summarize what were your thoughts on episode one of BBC's Prince Caspian?
Oh, left a lot to be desired. It's just Narnia paint by the numbers, and I hardly feel like it even rates as an adaptation because I feel like there was hardly any adapting going on. It was just like, how can I visually show the story of Prince Caspian in as little time as possible? That's what it felt like.
The highlights,
to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Highlight reel. No drama, no emotion, no nothing. It's just, we're just going to show you real fast.
It really does feel like we're watching The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, and there's a little, this kind of a last time on the Chronicles of Narnia montage.
Yes.
And that's what we're seeing, a long montage version of that, which is disappointing. Like, never in this episode did I feel, did I laugh? Did I cry? Did I get emotional? Did I feel excitement? It was just sort of all whirling past me. And I've been challenged on this a couple times, but I feel like the Narnia books are nothing if not atmosphere. And I feel like this adaptation doesn't take time to even establish basic drama, basic emotion, much less atmosphere. So, yeah, I think it's Prince Caspian greatest hits, like my wife put it.
I was going to say, you feel a little like breathless at the end of this episode, and not in a good way. More like you've been dragged through something slightly against your will.
Yeah, I love John Mark's performance as Prince Caspian. That's the major positive I would hang on this. And I was slightly intrigued by the way they did the Invisible Aslan scene, so I'll see if they can follow that up in the next episode. But apart from that, I think if I wasn't doing a podcast review of that, I probably wouldn't be compelled to watch the next episode. But I would love to be surprised. And I would also love to be surprised by getting this stump question right. You told me before it started that the question was weird. So I'm like, uh-oh. I'm not quite so confident now.
Weird. Let's just say it's a little random. But okay. You might actually know this. I definitely would not. But you might. Okay, this is submitted by Fledge. Glumpuddle. Which was the only Narnia book not to be published in September or October?
Wow, okay.
I wasn't lying, guys.
Yeah, okay. No, that's very interesting. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was published on October 16th, 1950. I believe Prince Caspian was October 15th, so just a year later. So the question is, which book was not published in October or September?
Correct.
I'm thinking it was probably one of the later books. Last Battle was in 1956. Was it Magician's Nephew? I typed up the page on NarniWeb with the publication date, so I knew it at some point. I feel like it's down to Dawn Treader or Magician's Nephew. I am going to go with Dawn Treader. It was published in May. But I will say it was published not in September or October.
Okay, is that your final answer?
I'll go ahead and make that my final answer.
Okay, well, that was not correct. But you were very close. You did have May correct, but it was not Dawn Treader. It was The Magician's Nephew. So you were very very close. You were on the right path. Yes, The Magician's Nephew was published on the 2nd of May in 1955.
Okay, I was visualizing the page we have on Narnia with the publication dates. I knew there was a May in there, and I was thinking, which one was it? Okay, that was a really good question, though. And by the way, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the first Narnia book, was published October 1950, so it will turn 70 in October. Narnia's 70th anniversary this year.
Ooh.
And we'll have to come up with some ways.
We can throw a party.
Yep, we'll have to. Jonathan Paravel reminded me of that. This year is the 70th anniversary of the books and the 15th anniversary of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe movie. So it's a significant
year.
It
is a momentous year, y'all.
It is. Great. All right. Well, thanks for listening. And obviously, we're going to continue this quite soon with episode 2 of Prince Caspian. But
yes.
Jim Fan, why don't you take us out?
All right. You have been listening to Talking Beasts, the Narnia podcast from NarniaWeb.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and give us 5 stars on iTunes. Please post a comment below, or you can post a comment in the Talking Beasts Facebook group. Visit patreon.com/NarniaWeb to support this podcast and get exclusive content, including early access to episodes. You can also email us at podcast@NarniaWeb.com, glumpuddle@NarniaWeb.com, or jimfan15@NarniaWeb.com. And we will be back on March 17th. Until then, further up and further in.